Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I just wanted to take a moment before we get into the word here this morning to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Brad Holford. I'm the associate pastor here for all those that might be visiting here with us today. It's just an honor to have you here. If you are visiting and this is your first time, or maybe you've been here just one or two times before, Pastor Tim Stallman, he's our senior pastor, and he's the man that is called and anointed to lead this work. So I just invite you to come on back and meet Pastor Tim. I know that he would want to meet you. And I just praise the Lord for the call, the giftings that are on his life as a pastor. They couldn't be here today, so they asked me to fill in. So I'm excited for it. The word is good. I trust you come hungry for the word of God here today. It's always the word. You know, you get addicted to the word. It doesn't matter which way it comes. You respond to the truth of the word of God. Last week we had a privilege to have the Dufresnes in. And so that the word came through a different channel, different vessels there, but it was a blessing. And if you get addicted to the truth, amen, it's good no matter which way it comes. Amen. And learn to respond to the truth. Glory to God. Everything we do here at Family Church, if you are visiting, is 100% out of the Word of God. We have a saying here that we don't change the Word changes us. Glory to God. I'm grateful for the foundation and the strength and integrity of the Word, that it changes me. Amen. I know the life that I once lived, and it wasn't anything but stable. You know what I'm saying? So we're grateful for the foundation of the Word, because our Heavenly Father loves us. So I'm excited to minister the Word. I got some things that are on my heart, but I trust that you're going to participate, that you're going to respond. Amen. Did you come hungry here today? Glory to God. I'll tell you what, you know, if you develop an appetite for certain things, you'll want more of it. You know, there was a time when I hadn't had pizza. And then there was a time when I had pizza. And then I had an appetite for pizza. But I wouldn't have known it unless I tasted it. You know, you might have a favorite dish, whether it's steak or you know, if you're a vegetarian, a nice tofu, whatever. You know, salad or whatever y'all eat. Amen. You know, we got these canines right here for cutting meat as far as, no, hey, follow your heart, be blessed. We're not dismissing. If you're a vegetarian, praise God. We'll pray for you and stuff like that. But amen. But there was a time you had to generate and create an appetite for those things. How much more for the things of God? You know, oftentimes your flesh would have an appetite for other things, have an appetite for entertainment, the things in this world, but there comes a time when you're going to have to live out of your spirit, and you're going to have to crave the things of the spirit. And it's like going to the gym in the respect that, man, like Pastor Tim says, hey, if there's a wasp or a hornet that comes near you, just give it a karate chop or something. I had a low flyer. I think he had B-52 written on his side or something. So, amen, it's that time of year. So, hey, you know, one comes towards you, just give him the judo chop and knock him down and spare the rest of us all. But anyway, you go to the gym sometimes, and those weights are heavy. You know, and there's that point where, you know, I look over and I see Joe, and I took one of his classes a couple weeks. You know that I hadn't been back. It was a Wednesday, the early bird, and it was good, but man, sometimes it's like, you know, when you're lined up, and I guess it's just the pride in me, we were doing some of this stuff, and I was looking, everyone else is like going twice, I'm like, man, I'm just throwing down some push-ups, I'm like, I'm not going to be, let not me be the one that, you know, is laying on the floor with drool out of my mouth or something like that. And so I was like, man, I need to, you know, step it up. And I think I overdid it because symptoms came on me after that. And I'm not saying that it was credited, you know, to that class. But I didn't so much enjoy that the first time that I went, because physically it put such of a demand on me that I was like, oh, my goodness, I need not, you know, why put myself through this punishment? But over the course of time, as you begin to lift weights, as you begin to exercise, all of a sudden there's a flip where all of a sudden the energy levels start coming up. All of a sudden your levels start enhancing on the inside of you, and all of a sudden there's a nutritional benefit and value where you start having an appetite for the health and the health that it promotes on the inside of you. But it didn't start out that way. Well, same thing spiritually. You know, it's not every day that you wake up and be like, oh man, I gotta pray, I gotta read, I gotta, you know, go to church. And I understand, having the little one now, that sometimes getting to church can be, you know, a task that, man, we need to believe God for a miracle here, because, you know, and he does good, and it's not that extreme, but I understand that things can happen. I mean, you know, we got families other than just one little one. We got families that are big, and hey, let's rally them up and head them forward. You know, and so I understand that the flesh sometimes tries to promote a behavior that is, you know, outside and contrary to your spirit. But if you begin to develop yourself spiritually, you start developing an appetite for the things of God. And it may not happen, you know, in one session of fellowship with the Lord or over the course of a week, but over time, you'll begin to appreciate and develop and have a longing to spend time with the Father and a longing to get into the Word. And I encourage you, because you know what? The world, we're busy. You know, we got jobs, we got, you know, families, we got kids to get ready, we got other things going on out through the course of the day and weeks and months and different things like that. I understand that. But if you start supplementing yourself with the Word of God, with prayer and the fellowship with Him, there'll be a time where it's like, hey, I just need to cut some things out and I just need to spend that time of fellowship with Him, because now there's an appetite that I can't go without it. I gotta have it. Just like you would if you hadn't eaten all day and you come home at night and you're like, man, I just gotta eat something before I, you know, either fall down or punch somebody in the face, one or the other. Hey, you all been there. You know, you get hangry. You get hangry. That's right. You come home, it's like, I need to eat. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I need a snack. I need a Snickers bar. I need something before someone tries to engage in intellectual, you know, conversation with me. So you understand what I'm getting at. But you come to that point where you begin to crave and desire the fellowship with the Father, because you have that longing. You've developed that appetite. So when we say that, you know, you come in, are you hungry for the Word of God? Hungry people move. Hunger will move you. You have no hunger for things, it'll just sit right there. Right now, I'm not hungry. If there were food sitting right there, I wouldn't be all over it. Why? Because I've been satisfied with other things. Amen. I've been satisfied with sustenance on the inside of me. But those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. If you decide, I gotta have it, I gotta see change in my life, I gotta have an answer to what I'm dealing with, I gotta see myself on the other side of this situation. When you have a hunger for change in your life, look out, because all of a sudden you're motivated in a direction that's going to see you to the other side of that. You're going to see yourself to the breakthrough of that. And it comes by getting into the Word of God. And I'll tell you, we're so blessed here and so fortunate under Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate, our senior pastors, to get the Word that we get. And I'll tell you, it's a safe place because we stick to the Word of God. And I'll tell you, too, that, you know, all the preparation has been done. It's just a simple act of eating. I like the fact that, you know, our family gatherings with my parents, my mom is a phenomenal cook. And so come Thanksgiving or come Christmas or even birthdays or whatever, we go over there. Well, we just sit down and eat. Why? Because it's already been prepared. We respond according to what's already been established. When I come to church, in like matter, I respond to what's already been prepared and waiting, and I don't dishonor or disrespect the preparee or the one who has prepared in advance on my behalf. I'm going to eat. They've prepared. They've done the time. They've done the study. So I'm going to be hungry for what they've made and prepared for me. And I also encourage you, too, upon your response, that if you're here and you hear people respond, maybe you are new at this time, you hear people amening and different things, praise God. That's being excited and have a joy for the Word. I rejoice in thy Word as one who struck it rich, David said. And I encourage you, too, that often when you hear the Word and you see the Word, that you do respond. Because you need to condition yourself to responding to the truth. Every circumstance that you have gone through and are going through is trying to get your response. You need to be in a position where you respond to the truth. This is a safe place where you can respond to the truth. And when Pastor Tim is ministering and I sit there, yes, yes, that's right, that's good. And you hear me responding, not to draw attention, but because I know in my private time, when I'm praying to the Lord by myself and I get revelation or I get a scripture, that's right, yes, yes, sir, I hear that, yes, that's right. I've conditioned and trained myself to respond to the truth. And this is a place where you can respond to the truth so that when you're outside of these four walls, that you know how to respond according to the truth in the midst of what you're going through. When you hear the word, yes, Father, that's good. You shall meet and supply every one of my needs. That's right, you will. My God will do that. My God, there's other gods in the world, but my God shall supply all my needs, every single one that I had, according to his riches, not according to my bank account, not according to the economy, not according to inheritance, but my God, according to his riches, will provide all of my needs. That's right, he will, and I respond to the truth. And so when you're here corporately, it's not like we're trying to be some kind of eccentric, charismatic, amening, yeah, go preach it church. We're conditioning ourselves to develop our hunger and then respond to the Word of God so that you know how to respond to the truth in your own private life. This is where we're equipped for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. In Ephesians, our fourth chapter, the 11th verse. You've been doing your studies, so you know exactly what I'm talking about, those that have been here on Wednesdays. Glory to God. So the Lord's put some things on my heart. That's all free, no charge. Amen. Now we're fired up and ready for the Word. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I want to read a verse here for you. And I was seeking the Lord as to what to minister along the line. And Pastor, over the course of time, of course, you know, we had the Dufresnes and Pastor Kate that had ministered the last couple weeks, but he's been ministering along the lines of experiencing the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so I just purpose to stick on topic, and we're going to kind of go a little bit different way here, but, you know, stay with me. The Word's good. It'll be a blessing to you. But I want to talk to you about following the inward witness. And you may be questioning here, a lot of you may know the inward witness, but some of you are like, the inward witness, what is that? Where is that? What does that look like? Well, we're going to get into that here today. And I want to start out by prefacing that there are many different voices in the Lord, or in the world, rather. You know, I had been mentioned under the utterance there not too long ago, there's many circumstances and many things that try to warrant your attention, try to give you a voice of something contrary to the truth. And there's no exception. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, I'm going to read verse 10. In context, this passage is talking about prophecy in tongues, and it talks about in the local church in this particular passage. So if you read this in context, it's talking about languages, but don't hold it just to different languages that are in the world when we read this 10th verse. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So he's talking here that there's many different voices. If you look at that word in the Amplified, it says languages. There's many different languages that are in the world, and all of them are significant to some respect. We all know that our natural language is a voice of communication. But you have to understand, too, that there are many different voices in the world that try to contradict the Word of God. You remember Jesus in Mark, the 11th chapter. That's our key foundational passage for faith. But you remember that he came up to the fig tree. And what did he do? He spoke to the fig tree. Because at that particular time, during that season, a fig tree with leaves on it, which Jesus saw, should have had figs. And so he went up to it, and there were no figs. So what did he do? He cursed that and said, you will no longer bear figs from this day forward. There was a curse on it. So what did he do? He spoke to a voice that was contrary to the truth or reality. And so what this fig tree was showing is, hey, lack. You're not going to have food. You're going to go without. There's leaves here, but it's a hypocrite tree. There's no fruit attached to it when it should have it. And so there's different voices in the world. You remember the disciples in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus says, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side. And it says there was a storm of hurricane proportion that arose and came out. Now that, for these are fishermen. These are, you know, educated sailors and boatmen, you know, for lack of a better term. But they were to go to the other side. That was the command that their Lord had given to them. So they get halfway across the water, and all of a sudden, Jesus fell asleep in the boat. They wake him up, says, carest thou not that we die? So all of a sudden, they went from going to the other side and seeing themselves on the other side of their destination, seeing themselves on the other side of their trial, seeing themselves on the other side of their circumstance, to all of a sudden, we're dead. So something, some voice spoke to them contrary to the truth or the reality. So we need to determine within ourselves the right voice, the clear, correct voice, and one that is a safe guide for us to follow. Amen. We need to learn to follow our born-again spirit. Those that do not follow their born-again spirit will be crippled in life. There's a level of achievement that you can gain through wisdom, through knowledge, through education, through applying yourself in a given area. But there's a difference that separates the one that is born again from the one who is not born again. And that is, you have been made a new creation or a new creature. You are alive in Him, and you have the indwelling of the greater one on the inside of you. That separates you and puts you off the board from anyone who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is the advantage that has been granted and given to you from the Father when you entered into the new birth and became born again. God is a spirit. We know in John 4, he says, the hour is yet come and now is when they that worship the Father will worship him in spirit and truth. For God is a spirit. And so you have to understand that first and foremost, that you are a spirit being and that God communicates to your spirit. There are different ways that the Lord can communicate to you. Being that He is a spirit, He speaks to your spirit. There are three different ways that I want to bring out and show you, and I'm going to give a description on this, and this is going to open up to the inner witness. The audible voice of God. One of the ways that He can speak to us is audibly. In all my life, as I've been born again, I've never heard the audible voice of God. That is when He physically speaks to you as I am speaking to you right now. You can physically hear Him with your physical ears. I have never had that happen to me. There's people that have had Him speak audibly to Him where, you know, you see in the Bible where the Lord spoke to Moses. He spoke a lot in the Old Testament because they were not born again. But that is possible that the Lord can speak to you in an audible voice. The second is the authoritative voice of God. The authoritative voice of God is a strong leading or a hearing on the inside of you. It's not audible like I'm speaking, but it grasps your attention because it hits you that's like, oh, I know that that's God. I've only had that happen a couple times in my life, honestly. Oftentimes, it's because there's instruction pertaining to a direction. Could be sometimes a red flag or a, hey, look out, a warning that was, you know, in the near future. The last time I actually had that happen to me, I was driving. I was down in Sugar Grove, and I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. And my mom, who's not here, I don't know why they're going down to Florida. They're on their way down to Florida right now. I mean, we got a little taste of heaven right here, a little sunshine out there. I've seen, and I don't know about you, I've seen all kinds of robins so far. I saw them like a month ago. I've been seeing robins. Yeah, you know, last couple of weeks they've had their earmuffs on and their sweaters and stuff, little scarves, but they've been around, amen. And so the last time I had that happen, my mom actually had a surgery, and she had actually two surgeries that were within a couple of days, and she had her gallbladder removed. And so it was an in-and-out procedure. She went in, had her gallbladder out, came home, felt like heaven on earth. She's up doing laundry. She's up doing this, doing that. So it was the next day. This was like, I think on a Thursday or a Wednesday, one of the days. And so it was obviously a work day for me. And so I just was praying in the Holy Ghost. And I was praying for my family, praying for my mom. You have to be in a position to hear. The authoritative voice of the Lord can come, but you know, when you're, you know, 8 hours on the computer or TV or something like that, there's a lot more that the Holy Ghost has to work through to get you to hear and to listen. So I was just praying in the Holy Ghost, and I heard this concerning my mom. I was praying for her. She will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Okay. My mom was doing great. I mean, no problems whatsoever. I'm like, okay, well, that's good to know. Praise you, Lord. Audible voice, why are you telling me that? Why don't you tell me where, you know, find $1 million or something? I mean, you know, tell me something, you know. Okay, all right, so that means nothing to me. But I heard it, the authoritative voice of the Lord. She will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'm like, okay. Well, it was a couple days later where my mom had a reaction and got pancreatitis, and she ended up in the hospital for several days. It was maybe even greater than a week. And I'll tell you what, Mom, if you're listening, she's not listening, she's on the plane. Mom, if you're archiving, she looked like death. I'm not disrespecting my mom or anything, but she was laid out, and she was in such pain that it was to the point where it was like, she wanted to die. It's like, just get me out from under this thing. And so that was an anchor to my soul. It was the authoritative voice of the Lord where I went when I visited her in the hospital. And she's like, I'm in such extreme, excruciating pain. And she was coherent, but then she was not. And she was pale. I remember going there and Pastor Tim was there reading her scripture. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at her. I'm like, dear Lord, is this her last rites? You know, kind of a thing. And we knew it wasn't because I had that anchor. The authoritative voice of the Lord came to me and said, she'll live and not die. And so I said, Mom, I said, you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I said, this is as bad as this is ever going to get right here, right now. This is it. But we didn't know. And she was to that breaking point where it's like, oh, my goodness, dear Lord. And so she has dealt off and on, you know, with some other things. But you see her here now in health, you know, continuously on a weekly basis. But that was the authoritative voice of the Lord that jostled me and snapped me into that while my mom was, you know, baking and doing laundry. I mean, she was no symptoms at all. And then all of a sudden, boom. So that's the goodness of God. And third, I want to talk about the inner witness. The inner witness is your conscience. The inner witness is that still small voice. It's that knowing on the inside of you. Amen. Glory to God. The primary way that the Lord is going to speak to you is through the inward witness, is through your conscience. If you take this whole entire room based on the audible voice of the Lord, the authoritative voice of the Lord, you may find two little blocks or channels over the course of this whole room. Say this is just one giant river going that way. Well, one little tiny stream might be the audible voice of the Lord. One little tiny stream on the far edge over there might be the authoritative voice of the Lord. The majority of the rest will be the inner witness, the conscience, the still small voice, the knowing on the inside of you. And oftentimes Christians, give me a sign. Show me something. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Do you want me to take this job or not? I need a sign. I need this. I need a writing on the wall. I need some kind of encouragement here. And they're looking for the grand audible voice of the Lord when they need to develop themselves, to hear the still small voice, their conscience, their inner witness on the inside of them, to know the answer's there the whole time. They want the spectacular. So oftentimes, and I love Brother Hagin talks about fleece. They put out a fleece because you remember in the Old Testament, they had done that. Well, we're under the New Testament. We're born again. We have the Spirit on the inside of us. We have the knowing. They weren't born again back then. They didn't have a leading. They didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. They didn't have the Father making his abode on the inside of them. They needed a sign. Under the New Testament, that's unscriptural. Never ask God for a sign, because the devil will accommodate and give you a sign. God, you want me to do this? If you want me to do this, I want to see two red vehicles pass by my house in the next 5 minutes. If two red vehicles pass in front of my house in the next 5 minutes, I know that I'm to take this job. Oh, guess I'm not supposed to take this job. There was a blue, a white, and a gray. And so they don't take the job that God wanted them to take. And the answer was on the inside of them the whole time if they would have only listened. But because they wanted a sign. I want prophet so-and-so. I want Pastor Tim to come up to me saying, thus saith the Lord, verily, verily, you, sir, are to marry her. No. Just joking. But I'm saying, you need to follow the inward witness, because there have been lives ruined, and I am number one candidate of that nutty, fruity, and flaky camp where marriages get prophesied sometimes, and I've seen it, I've heard it. I had a prophet tell me, there was, my wife's in nursery right now, but I was dating this girl, and he told me, he's like, you need to ask her to marry you. He's like, I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and he says, and I got duck bumps on me, you know, goosebumps. I call them duck bumps. I got duck bumps on me, and I just knew that you were supposed to ask her. I wasn't even thinking about it. It just came on me. I wasn't even thinking about it. And I'm like, this sits so totally not where I'm at. I'm like, that just blindsided me in the face, where I'm like, okay, no, it's not. There was a knowing that I had. I'm like, no, that's not the case. But I've had it prophesied to me. So oftentimes Christians don't want to take the responsibility of quieting themselves to hear the inner leading and inner witness. Give me a sign. If I see a sign, then I don't have to separate myself. I don't have to give any attention or time. I don't have to obligate myself in any particular manner to hear from the Lord. If I got a sign, thus saith the Lord, do this or do that, I can follow that and I don't have to pay any attention to what's on the inside of me. Must be God. I saw a robin in February. Glory to God. Must be a sign. This is happening. That's happening. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I want to break this down. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and you're familiar with this passage. And it says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every individual is made up of three parts. You are first and foremost created in his likeness and in his image. As you read in Genesis, you are first and foremost a spirit being. That is the greater part of you. You have a soul, which is your mind, intellect, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Your body is governed by the five senses. I want to say that the five senses are the voice to your body. Your reasoning and your feelings are the voice to your soul. The inner witness, or your conscience, is the voice of your spirit. I'll say that again. Your five senses are the voice of your body. Your reasoning and your feelings are the voice of your soul. The inner witness, or your conscience, is the voice of your spirit. If you'll turn, maybe you'll bring it up on the overhead, Proverbs 20:27. I want to share this with you. Look what it says here. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man, that factor in human personality, this is in the Amplified, which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. It says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord or the lamp of the Lord. In other words, the illumination, the clarity, the understanding, the path of direction is on or in the spirit of man. And it says, searching all the inward parts of the belly, meaning this region down here. Some call it, maybe you've heard in today's world, a gut check. I had a gut check about this. I had a knowing that this was going to happen. I had a knowing. Well, that's your conscience. That's your spirit. That's your lamp or direction or navigation or compass to your spirit. It's right here on the inside. It says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He's directly in contact with your born-again spirit. That's why I say there is a difference between those that are born again and those that are not born again. They are in the dark spiritually. They haven't been recreated, as 2 Corinthians 5:17. They're not a new creation in Him. They don't have a born-again spirit yet. And you have to understand that God is a spirit, will communicate with our spirit. Your born-again spirit is a safe guide. If you learn to follow your born-again spirit, and I'm saying that, born again, new spirit, it is a safe guide for you. If you follow your reasoning faculties or your feelings, they're not a safe guide. I'm not saying that logic and reason is a bad thing, and I'm not saying that you won't make decisions based on your feelings or reasonings that won't turn out accurate. But that can be the exception and not the rule. If you learn to hear the voice of your spirit and your conscience, that will always be a safe guide if you are born again. That is where God resides. That is where the author of truth has indwelt on the inside of you and illuminates you through a candle, through a lamp, magnifies, gives direction, gives clarity. It's right here on the inside. No need to look out to see where your answer is. You look to the inside of you. That's where the Lord will speak to you. We are new creations. We are new creatures. Amen. Glory to God. If you'll turn with me to Acts, the 24th chapter, I want to give some specifics here, because we're talking about our conscience. We're talking about our born-again spirit, our inner witness on the inside of us. In Acts, the 24th chapter, I want to show you some things. Look what the word says here. We're going to start in verse 16. Our conscience, our inner witness, the spirit that we have on the inside of us, always a safe guide. We need to be efficient in learning to follow that. We need to develop ourselves where that voice becomes greater than any natural voice or natural thing. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do, because there are distractions in this earth. And like I say, you know, when you're busy, you got jobs, you got families, you got responsibilities, you got to take time to hit the spiritual gym to develop yourself spiritually. You need to crave, have an appetite for it, and spend time to develop that. You know, being that we are body, soul, and spirit, so oftentimes our body looks like King Kong and our spirit looks like, you know, a little wiggly worm, you know, malnourished. And so we wonder why, when we try to hear the voice of the Lord, we have no clarity or direction, because that which we've given attention to has a greater voice than our born-again spirit. So we need to develop ourselves so our conscience is accurate, our leading is accurate. In Acts, the 24th chapter, the 16th verse, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." Can you bring this up for me in the Amplified? You got to see this. Look what the Amplified says to this. "Therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense towards God and towards men." Look what he says here. This is one that understands their born-again spirit. This is one that says, I value the light and clarity and leading and direction of my born-again spirit. Therefore, since I value that leading, I deaden or mortify my mortal flesh. I make an effort to amplify that leading and devalue those things that would voice itself against that leading. I take it upon myself to realize that I am simply a body. I have feelings. I have, through my soul, I have natural tendencies to want to see things, touch things, smell things, eat things. I have an understanding that I have these things, so I need to deaden that because that is going to affect my clarity that I understand through my born-again spirit. My conscience would be seared or affected if I gave myself more attention to those things that are of no benefit than to deaden those things so I can more accurately be led according to my conscience. And that's what he is saying here. Mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless. I don't know about you, but there's where your stability is, unshaken. Unshaken, right in the midst of it. Jesus stood up on that boat. He said, peace be still. And the waters subsided when they were going across and that hurricane proportion storm came. Peace be still. There's a man that was unshaken. There was a man that knew the spirit on the inside of him. There was a man that understood the stability inside him was far greater than any circumstance, natural or otherwise, that could come against them. That's what he's saying. Hey, deaden those voices that are contrary to your true leading. They're only going to lead you astray. All of a sudden, an unexpected bill comes up, and all of a sudden, you're oh my goodness, well, I'm going to have to get another job. That's just natural. I just got to go out and spend more time, you know, apart from my family, apart from church, skip missing church because I got, you know, there's more bills that need to be paid. Well, what is your conscience saying? Well, my conscience is saying, I don't feel that I should miss church. Obey God. That's the leading that will bring break. Let God be God and work everything else out. Sometimes there is always an aspect of faith in your everyday lives. Sometimes you just got to let go and let God. Aaron, our son, he's 10 months now. And there's times where he's crawling all over. He's not walking yet. But he's scaling up your legs and everything, trying to get your attention. Well, there comes times where he's eating solid food now. And, you know, to an extent, nothing harder, you know, just the, you know, away from the yellow and the green mush that brown, whatever it is, you know, and it's sweet peas and pumpkin and whatever else. So he's starting to eat more stuff. And you know, he really likes yogurt and different things like that. But I'll get out my yogurt and I'll share it with him. Or there'll be something else. And he's fussing, and I'm getting stuff prepared, and he's all of a sudden fussing and whining and crying. I need that. This, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, I got this. Don't concern yourself with being fed. Because I'm your father, I've assumed that responsibility, and I will feed you. No need exhaust your energy, exhaust your effort and your abilities for something that is in my hands to give to you. You just receive. And so oftentimes through the course of what we can go through, you just got to let God. I'm not saying that's easy. Sometimes I apologize because probably one of the only places that I well up in tears, as you all know, is in the pulpit. But when the Lord gives me utterance that is ministering to other people, there's some things that are so valuable that there's nothing in this world that can exceed the greatness of that. And when you see the Word of God and He helps you through the Word of God, there's no value or price on that. That is the greatest honor that anyone can ever do, is to turn someone's heart towards the Father. Reason being is because He's done that in my life. And so, quick, someone say something or do something.
this is, and it, you know, even if there's a good Hallmark movie, I don't, that doesn't give me the tears like this. I don't encourage Hallmark. I'm just saying, they're just Hallmark's, and I'm saying this because now I got to snap out of it. Hallmark, it's the only thing where you can start watching the movie and they're all the same. So you could take a nap, wake up at the end, and it's just exactly how you thought it would be. There's always a man, always a woman. They go off to some town and meet someone. They're engaged, but the guy's a clink. So sometimes you need an outlet, and that's some of the better. There's not any, you know, cutting, scratching, rhyming, and stealing, any swearing, drugging, shooting. I'm just saying, Hallmark can sometimes, never mind. So anyway, I'm just saying there comes a time where you just have to let go and you have to let God. And that comes with faith in His goodness because He loves you. There's a battle. I like to call this the battle of the clear conscience. And that's what this verse is explaining, because there's different voices that try to gain priority in your life. We need to live right through discipline and also take up good spiritual habits. Being to church, kudos. You're here today, and not that merits you a badge, but you're hungry and you're in a place to get the Word of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost develops your sensitivity, gets you, you know, edifies yourself, builds you up, strengthens you. There's your spiritual gym, Word and prayer. We're Word and Spirit people. But I want to talk about this when it says that void of offense towards God and men. There right now, he's specifying a huge contradiction to being led by the inward witness, by being led by your conscience, that word offense. Can you bring up for me, for the sake of time, can you bring up Proverbs 18:19 for me? Look what the Word has to say about this. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Can you bring this up in the Amplified for me, please? Brother offended, harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. See, you thought your offense gave you some kind of leverage, because you're right and somebody else is wrong. So you thought that elevated your position on standing on the side of, hey, what you said was inappropriate, what you said or did was offensive towards me, therefore I'm going to remove myself from your littleness and how you approach this, and I'm going to elevate my own position because you're wrong, I'm right. Offense has set in, but it says here, harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. You just separated yourself. Separated yourself from your man of God, perhaps, from your church. Separated yourself from your job or your employer. Why? Because offense has set in. There was something that happened somewhere that you didn't like, and because now your pride was hurt, and because you're always right, you've separated yourself from the rest. Now, I don't know about you, but we know our natural bodies. If you separate a part of your body, it's not doing so good. The rest of the body can live, and we are aware of that, because Pastor's been ministering in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, talking about the 16th verse, as every joint supplieth. You know, there's parts and things. But same thing. You get a sheep that separates itself from the flock. There's wolves out there. There's a crushing devourer of this world that will try to eat your lunch. And if you separate yourself from that corporate anointing, that's a world of hurt for you. That's not discerning the Lord's body. You read over there in Corinthians, what is it? 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, not discerning the Lord's body, that many sleep or die prematurely. They're weak, sick, and die prematurely. Why? Because they've not discerned the Lord's body. They've separated themselves from it. I don't know about you, but weak, sick, and dead do not sound like a good time to me. I mean, you know, you don't see anybody really running to step up in that line. Glory to God. Amen. But it separates you through that offense. Separates you from God and man, because it talks about the Godward side and men. So oftentimes, in the course of our faith, offense is the first thing that tries to step in. Why hasn't it happened by now? It should have happened this way. All of a sudden, the weight of circumstances come in. Oh, the word doesn't work anymore. Why? Because this happened. And all of a sudden, we get offended at the word, and we separate ourselves from God, separate ourselves from out any help that He would have to offer to you. Also, offended, it says, offense with God and man, the manward side of it. Could the offense separate you from your pastor? I like what Pastor Tim says. He says, most people are one sermon away from leaving the church. Why? Because they heard something they didn't like. They heard something that confronted their circumstances. How dare you make it personal all of a sudden? How dare you make it personal that I'm going through this? You called me out, said there's another way. Don't you think I've been trying to do everything that I could do to get out of this? Yeah, let God. Don't tell me to let God. People get offended for that and they leave. There was a time years ago, we were up in the building right when we first got here. Children's Church was actually the Thorpe's place over here. And so we would meet down there for Children's Church. They would walk down through service. So this one couple, there was a situation where I was an usher at that time. I get a call. Can you get parents of so-and-so? Okay. Get parents of so-and-so. Though there's a concern where you're needed down for your child down. Well, it was a 5-year-old princess that could do no wrong in mom and dad's eyes. Now, let me give you a background here. This family, husband, wife, I knew them, not real super well, but I knew them even outside of church. They were in a position where they were going through a divorce. They were married at this time, but they were in a position where divorce was soon to happen and did eventually happen. So their princess was down in Children's Church, and at that time, the leadership needed to make some adjustments or some corrections with this young lady, because we expect them that when we're praising and worshiping God or being taught that you can sit and conduct yourselves at 5 years of age, they have snacks, they have fun times, they have different things. But we encourage the kids that you can't go off and do whatever you want because you say so. And if you do, then we'll have your parents come down so we can make them aware, either take you up there, this, that, or the other thing. So parents had gone down there to minister to the princess. And later on, I had talked to this individual, and I could tell that he was offended. I could tell that the father, because their princess could do no wrong. And so out of compassion for him and for his circumstance, and I said, brother, I said, I know something happened down there. I said, don't take this and let it work against you. I said, don't let offense sit in you. And he goes, honestly, he says, you know, I am offended by this. She's 5 years old. What is a 5-year-old that you can expect and demand and do this, this, and this out of her? And so I'm like, okay, brother. I'm like, you know, sometimes things happen. There could be misunderstandings. I said, we have, you know, wonderful anointed people to work in this ministry and help. And I said, if there was a situation, it's unlikely that I would receive a call. And I said, there might have just been a misunderstanding. And I said, just don't let that offense get in you. Well, these people, they left, never came back. And that's the thing. That's the thing. I know these people to this day. I know them outside of church. So it's not like they escaped the radar of like, oh, I don't know, maybe they moved. Hey, they moved. No, they didn't. They ended up in divorce because they got offended and left the house of the Lord. We've had people in this church that have been believing God for miracles and have received miracles. People that couldn't get pregnant, they got pregnant. People that were believing for healing and it was some kind of a terminal disease or something, they got healed. And because of the way that it manifested, because it came differently than the way that maybe they thought, they left and they have never been back. You received a miracle from the hand of God. You have a kid, but all of a sudden, because it was different turnout than the way you thought, all of a sudden you've left and you're not coming back. Offense has set in. There's people where all of a sudden, hey, you know what? I've been corrected. I've done something correct me, please. You've heard Pastor Tim's story when he was, you know, Mr. Hero up there doing worship. And I say that because, you know, he would tell you that too. And he got corrected from Pastor Michael. There was a wonderful time to take offense. Are you willing to separate yourself from your help? Are you willing to separate yourself from under the covering of the gathered corporate body and be a one man because your pride is more valuable to you? That's what it comes down to. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's life or death, plain and simple. You separate yourself from the things of God, from your house of God. You get out under the protection of the corporate anointing, and then all of a sudden things start falling apart. Don't let offense do that. Set the pride down. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. We've had people here should have had a shot at the pulpit by now. These people here at this family church, they don't understand my giftings. They don't understand my anointings. What, they're asking me to serve or scrub a toilet when I can minister better than they can? Oh my goodness, we've had that happen where all of a sudden offense comes in. When that offense gets in, you're not hearing your conscience. You're not hearing that inward witness because all of a sudden you positioned yourself on the other side of truth. And now you're one-man banding, doing your thing. Yeah, we've seen that. How about with your boss? I should have gotten a raise by now. I should have gotten promoted by now. Don't they see? Oh, man. You know your boss isn't your only source of income? Don't put the entire well-being of your family on one man, your boss. That's not his position. Put it on the God who supplies and meets every single one of your needs according to his riches and glory. He bore that weight on the cross through Jesus. He can do it. He can bear it. Don't rightfully accuse your boss of not seeing you or knowing you. Promotion's not from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from the Lord. Well, all I know and all I have right now is my job as my income. Praise God. Wonderful. Don't frustrate the grace of God by quitting your job. But seek Lord for other opportunities. Divine ideas, witty inventions. Think outside of the box. Hey, I'm going to serve and shovel my neighbor's yard or sidewalk time and time again. All of a sudden they give you some money here. Oh man, I just got increase. Hey, this didn't come through my job or my employment. Follow the leading of your conscience. The Father will always talk to you concerning those things. Amen. I mean, what a bummer to only have one channel of income. Or what I'm saying is this, the expectation. Work. God blesses your hands. You need a job. Work with your hands to get a job, get a full-time job. Let that be a blessing. But what I'm saying is take off the limitations that's the only way it can come. You know, I've had people that have come up and given me money. Praise God. That didn't come through my job. You know, don't dismiss an opportunity for a divine idea. What do you imagine? Hey, this is on my heart to do this. Well, don't let you not knowing how to bring that to fruition negate the voice of the Lord or the leading of your conscience or your spirit, the inward witness. Amen. See how these things all tie together. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We're wanting to be effective and efficient in hearing the inward witness, hearing and listening to our conscience. Our born-again spirit, that's the way the Lord, the majority of the time, will minister and speak to us. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Amen. We'll start there in verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That word fear means reverent, reverence. See, let's just pause right there for a minute. You should always have an answer to every man that asks you the reason of your hope. Why is it that there's a smile on your face when you're going through what you're going through? Why is it that you're a lot happier than everyone else that we come in contact with? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ alive on the inside of me. I used to be a heathen, broke, busted, disgusted, sick or ill in body until the Lord showed up in my life. And because he did, glory to God, I put a smile on my face. I have joy in my heart. Have an answer for them concerning the goodness of God. In verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Can you bring this up for me in the Amplified? Just to bring some clarity. I like using the Amplified. And see to it. I like that. And see to it. In other words, guard this. See to it. If I ask you to do something, see to it that you take out the garbage. See to it that you do the dishes. See to it, you know, that your conscience is entirely clear, unimpaired. Oh, man. We all know, like, the hearing impaired. There's a complication in that. He says, as far as your conscience is concerned, make sure it's unimpaired. Make sure that this is hitting on all levels. Make sure all cylinders are making contact here, that you're moving in the right direction here. So that when you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who threaten you abusively and revile your right behavior in Christ may come to be ashamed of slandering your good lives. So he's saying here, you need to, above all things, guard your good conscience. Have a good, unblemished, untainted conscience on the inside of you. Amen. Glory to God. I want to give an example of one that had an opportunity to be offended, one that had an opportunity to throw in the towel, one of the ones in the Bible, and I like that we're going to be talking about this one, is John the Baptist. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Luke chapter 7. Because he was known, Jesus himself said there's none other that's greater than John the Baptist. Talking about, this is a devoted man of God, one that was the forerunner to Jesus himself. His ministry was the preparation for Jesus on this earth. So you're well aware of John the Baptist. Well, through the course of John the Baptist, even he said, I must decrease that Christ may increase. Now here's an individual that baptized, and when he baptized Jesus, the Spirit came down as a dove and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So he knew by when he even saw Jesus, he said, here comes a man whose latches of his sandals I'm not even worthy to tie. So here's a man who knew full well who Jesus was, and he had, you could say, even the audible voice of the Lord ministering to him and saying to him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Yes, sir, if you see things and hear things and God confirms things and you know by revelation that this is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, praise God, you think you'd be pretty fortified in that. Well, as John the Baptist was declining, as Jesus was inclining or increasing in his ministry, there was a point where John the Baptist was in prison. Now, you remember John the Baptist had his head lopped off. Well, he's in a position now where circumstance put him in a place where he was beginning to take offense at the circumstance. And so I'm talking about here what we've been talking about through the course of context, being separated through your offense. So as we pick it up in the 19th verse, let's read. And right now in this setting, John the Baptist is in prison. So this is what he does. And John calling unto him two of his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? So here these guys are, disciples of John the Baptist. He says, you need to go to Jesus and say, hey, Are you the Messiah? Are you Jesus? Or do we look for another? Why would he say that? Because now he is imprisoned. If he were the Son of God, this should be working out better on my behalf. Did I miss it now? Did I miss it now that I'm locked up and imprisoned? And all of a sudden, Jesus is out having the greatest, biggest ministry. Is he really the one? Because things would look different on my behalf. I warrant a higher level of respect. I don't want to go out this way because, don't you know, I'm the forerunner of Jesus? And so pride would get in there to warrant a higher level. So he's offended because he's locked up in prison right now. So in verse 21, and in that same hour, he cured many, talking about Jesus, of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he says, you go back to John the Baptist, you tell him the blind have been healed, the dead have been raised, to the poor the gospel has been preached. You tell him all the signs, wonders, and miracles. And he said, blessed is he who's not offended me in verse 23. Now watch this. If you could bring up verse 23 in the Amplified, look at what this says. Here we go. This is for all those that want to get offended. And blessed, happy with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from outward conditions. Huge. Apart from outward conditions. You mean apart from those things that are not, if they're outward conditions, they're not the conditions of my conscience and my spirit being. Apart from outward circumstances. There was a wasp there. I almost got him, but he was moving pretty quick. Apart from outward conditions, and to be envied is he who takes no offense in me and who is not hurt or resentful or annoyed or repelled or made to stumble, whatever may occur. Oh my goodness. I know he didn't say whatever may occur, because whatever means whatever. That means anything. Let not anything or anyone make you offended at Jesus. Let not offense bear root, whether it's a circumstance, whether it's a man, whether it's how you think things should or should not be, whether it's your boss, whatever may occur, let it not make you offended or pull you into offense. If you are offended, you are not listening to your inward witness. You are not listening to your conscience. And that's what I want to specify and make known here today. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. I would just for this sake, I wanted to just driving this point home here. First Timothy 4, we're going to start right there at the very first verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. If it means that they'll depart from the faith, it means they were in the faith to begin with. So these are Christians. Speaking, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These are people who, through their speaking, through lies, people that have departed or been separated from their faith. So we can see here that separation come through those that were believers and are now not, because they've given heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. They've separated themselves. Could be through offense. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Another word, and if you look that up in the Amplified, it says seared or cauterized. You ever sear a hand or know someone that has been in a fire, God forbid, but all of a sudden what they've burned, there's no feeling, there's numb. Or sometimes if they do a medical procedure, they'll cauterize certain things to stop bleeding and different things, but what happens when they do that, there's no sensitivity. There's no feeling left. There's no direction or leading or sense of anything other than just numbness, dullness. And so he's saying that having a seared conscience will be one that is numb, feeling nothing, understanding nothing, having no leading, having no direction. He was talking about those that have departed from the faith. In other words, those that are in the faith, we have it. We have the conscience, the born-again spirit on the inside of us. Those that have, through seducing spirits, through offense, whatever, have been separated, calloused, scarred, seared, cauterized, no feeling left. The importance of not allowing offense to go in there. Amen. Glory to God. We're closing down here on time, and I just want to share with you, let's see where we want to go here, because God is faithful. And you have to have a knowledge of the Word. If you can bring up Hebrews 4:12 for me, and you can just write these things down, because I know we're, you know, getting over in time. I want to finish. My goal was to finish about an hour before Pastor Tim did, and I'm in jeopardy of that. I'm just joking, Pastor. Love you. If you're watching right now, we appreciate so much the Word of God, and you're hungry for it. I'm telling you, you can't get enough. So amen, and I'm not dishonoring or disrespecting my man of God, because I love our pastors and I love what they do. So I'm joking. Amen. So in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God, as you're sitting under the Word here today, you're being sharpened. It's dividing and giving you understanding between your spirit and your soul, which is your mind, intellect, will, and emotions. They are not the same thing. So the more you put yourself under the Word of God, the more that you will be sensitive to your conscience, because it will begin to eliminate the voice of the soul in your life. So you're not hearing and knowing things by your senses. You're not hearing and knowing things by your feelings. You're giving yourself devoted time to the Word of God to understand the truth, and that will make separation to be more sensitive to the Word of God. The Word, and also praying in the Holy Ghost, fellowshipping with the Father. Glory to God. You know, you have to have an understanding that He is faithful. When you're going through trial circumstances, when everything is contrary to what you're believing for, He's faithful. When you have a knowing on the inside of you, trust it. That is God on the inside of you. He's faithful to perform His word. We know Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You know, not only, you bring it up, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm saying this to give an explanation of His faithfulness. You know, he comes to Him, must believe that He is, not to say simply that He exists, but that He is your healer. He is your deliverer. He is your provider. He is your peace. He is your banner. He is your victory. He is your security. He is your foundation. Whatever you need to be Him to be, He is. He's the God of restored marriages. He's the God of crippled bodies becoming whole. He's the God of bringing your loved ones back. He's the God of sound-mindedness. He's the God of those that had no way to give them away. Whatever you need Him to be, He is. There's many different names of God in the Bible. He is whatever you need Him to be at that time. He is my comfort when I'm by myself. He is my spouse when my husband or my wife has passed on and gone away. He is my provider. He is whatever you need to be. You need to confess Him as what He is. He's faithful. I know by the Word of God that He is my provider. And no matter what my bank account says, no matter what my job situation is, it doesn't negate the fact that He is my provider. So you have to understand that. When you have an understanding, when that voice of my conscience lines up to what I know He is, then you can move freely on that. Well, I feel led to do this. Well, does it line up with the Word of God? Yes, it does. I have a green light. I don't have any checks. I have a clear conscience. I've taken time to establish myself, to be unblemished, to be unimpaired down here. And now I can move forward freely because everything in me has a green light to move forward. You have a check in your conscience. You have a check in your spirit. That's the brakes. Even a yellow light is a red light. Don't move until you have that clarity, till you have that knowing. God is good. God will never leave you down a path to show you like some kind of turmoil or tragedy to show you something. He will honor the fact that you're trying to hear from the Spirit on the inside of you because that's how He's created and made us. I don't know all the answers. I don't know all the questions, but I got a leading and I'm going to follow that to the best of my ability. If I stumble along the way, His goodness is there to put me back on track if I do get off. And it's so easy because the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And what trips us up sometimes is we want that audible voice because sometimes we're like, well, I don't know how to hear. Well, what's your conscience say? Just because you feel like coming up here and punching me in the face, what does your conscience say? Don't do it. Amen. But you understand these things on a daily basis. You know not to steal something. You don't know not to cuss somebody out. Why? Because your conscience won't persist you to do that. There's a check there. I want to give them a piece of my mind, but there's a check there. I can't do it. I'm learning to follow my conscience. That's God. That's following the inward witness. Why does it have to be some grand monumental thing that, oh, I hope that I can do it? And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our minds that how is this going to look? What is this? Just follow what your heart's telling you to do. You know what to do or not to do. And if you do something wrong, you'll get a check. You'll get an, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Father, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have punched that guy in the face. But I did. I repent for it. I know I shouldn't. There was a check there, and I didn't obey that check. And so now, I thank you, Father, for bail. Even though he deserved it, the finger wouldn't have been good enough. It needed a punch. Come on now. But I'm saying, obey the voice of the Lord. Obey the check that is in your heart. Amen. He's faithful. He's a rewarder to do that. I have a Psalms 36:5. I'm just trying to fortify it. I just thought this would be a good way to finish. If you could just bring that up for me. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. I love that. That, you know, this is a day before airplanes and different things, but you couldn't exhaust his mercy. You couldn't exhaust his faithful. He is faithful. That's part of his name. No matter what you're going through, he's faithful to see you through the other side of that. Joshua 23:14, can you bring that up for me? Look at what Joshua said as he was about to part. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. He's faithful. Everything that he said will come to pass. Numbers 23:19, if you could bring that up for me. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said it in the word, it's as good as him doing it. His word doesn't return unto him void. He's faithful. He speaks to you by the word of God. He speaks to you in your inward witness, in your conscience. That's all the clarity you need. I don't need a lightning bolt. I don't need, the authoritative voice of the Lord. All I need to know is in my heart, in my conscience. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to leave my place of help. I'm not going to leave my place of employment based on my pride because I have an understanding that my inward witness and my conscience is far more valuable to me than any pride that I could ever muster and self-dignity on my own part. I need to hear the voice of the Lord. That's what separates me. If not, I'll just live like a heathen. The ones that aren't born again and don't have a leading, I'll live like them because their wisdom and their reasoning factors get them to a level. You're gonna be led one way or another. If you don't live according to your spirit and live according to the inward witness, you'll live by your reasoning and your feelings and your flesh. You're going to live one way or another. My goodness, you got to live in this world and in this earth. And if you negate the leading of the Holy Ghost by not following your conscience, you're going to live according to the standard that's set in the world. And heathen, don't be disappointed when you get worldly results. God is so good. See, that's the thing, like, so oftentimes, well, I'm born again, therefore, my bank account should be immediately full. I should never have to work. I should never have to do anything. The value that the Lord sees is He gives you that leading. He lives on the inside of you. That is such magnitude of His goodness. And we want it easier on ourselves. It's like, oh man, then I got to get myself to develop my spirit. Well, yes, you do. Why? Because the wealth that it creates, and I'm not talking just financially, from having clarity in the understanding of hearing His voice is far greater than any natural thing here on earth. So He gave you the best, not so you could stumble through life and wondering, how do I do this or how do I do that? I feel like I'm not even getting this out. When Jesus died, He established your prosperity. He took sickness and disease. He established your salvation. But the greatest thing that He did and through Jesus' ministry was He gave you the assistance of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, where He said, above all things, I'm going to dwell on the inside of you. I'm going to create and make you a new creature, that you are elite. You are a being that is far beyond anything where all divine presence and supply and magnificence is on the inside of you. This is what is so great beyond what you can think of, a bank account or do this or do that or how do I get this. But we're so wrapped up in the day-to-day that we fail to recognize what's been deposited. We don't value what's been deposited on the inside of us. The Lord sees what He's given to each one of us is the best gift through Jesus Christ that He could possibly give you, and He lives on the inside of you. All things come right here, spiritually speaking. Get the leading, get the knowing, get the clarity, so that we can live this life to be an example of Him. We can live this life in clarity, live this life being successful, because we know we are different. You want to be a light in a dark world. You are different. Things were bad until you showed up. Things were going the wrong way till you showed up. People were stumbling all over themselves till you showed up with the light of the Word of God, and things changed. The greater one showed up when you arrived. The greater one on the inside of you. It was going to be a bad day until you got there. Then things got to line up. Every time Jesus showed up and there was a sick person, healing. Whenever there was lack, provision. He dealt with everything. Why? Because He showed up. The greater one's on the inside of you. You change your world. You change your situation. The deposit that's on the inside of you far exceeds any natural limitations that this world would have to say or offer. You make a change on the inside of you. You got the Holy Ghost. You're never a one man in this by yourself. You take advantage of the greater one on the inside of you. You be led by that still small voice, that inner witness, and you change the world. Glory to God. Amen. Did you get anything here today? Amen. We're not going to let offense separate us. We're not going to let people's opinions pull us out from being sensitive to the inward witness. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you.